Hi guys, and welcome back to Open Language. This is Connor.
And this is Adam.
And today we're talking about something that maybe a lot of you know about, but actually this has been a learning experience for me.
It's cool, right? It's really cool when we can learn at the same time as you guys.
Yeah, so we're learning about the Chinese culture, the differences between Northern Chinese people and Southern Chinese people.
Okay, so unlike Connor, I did spend quite a few years in China, especially in Chinese classrooms, teachers would really, really like to talk about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, students in those classes would kind of say, well, teacher, how can you prove that?
Oh, yes, right. How can you prove that? So this dialogue is actually based on a real scientific study.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about later.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got a dialogue here between Victoria and Tom, and it takes place in a Starbucks.
Oh, one of my favorite places. Okay, well, I will be more than happy to join Victoria and Tom. Maybe I'll grab a little latte and see what they have to say.
Sounds good. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Tom. I'll go order our drinks. Would you mind grabbing that empty chair for our table?
Oh, are you sure? Why don't we just find a table with two chairs?
Oh, I guess we could. Say, you don't happen to be from southern China, do you?
Yeah. What gave it away?
Well, I saw a study about behavioral differences between southern and northern Chinese people.
So, we don't like to move chairs?
No, but people from the South don't like to manipulate their environment. It dates back to the rice farmers who had to coordinate irrigation with their neighbors.
So you mean we're more interdependent?
Yep. Southerners tend to be more enmeshed in navigating social relationships than their northern counterparts.
Why did the northerners diverge from the South then?
Because they farmed wheat, which could be done independently.
So I guess that's why Southerners do things a little more reservedly with strangers.
Probably. The old collectivistic way of life still lingers in modern urban environments.
That's pretty fascinating. Now, let me grab that chair.
All right, so we just heard the dialogue. We've got Victoria and Tom, and Victoria wants to pull over some chairs, and Tom is like, no, can we just go find a table with two chairs?
Okay, and that is how they did this study, right? It's all based on chairs in Starbucks.
Yeah, they watched people move chairs or not move chairs.
And then tried to decide, based on that behavior, are they from the north of China or the south of China?
Right, and that's what Victoria is guessing here. She says, say, you don't happen to be from southern China, do you?
Right. So what is she saying, or what is he, why are we saying say?
Right. You may have seen this before. Say, we use it like this when we're going to kind of change the topic and introduce some new sentence. And it's usually something like, say, you wouldn't happen to know the time, would you?
Yeah. Actually, we often use it in that kind of pattern, right? It's this sort of really long, you wouldn't happen to blah, 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 would you? Or something like that.
Yeah, would you or do you in this case?
Right. Same thing. Say, you wouldn't happen to know the square root of pi, would you?
Yeah, something popped into my head and I just want to know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. And, well, she's right. Tom says, what gave it away?
What gave it away? Okay, so what are we giving here?
No, not giving anything, actually. He's just saying, well, how did you know?
How did you know? Like, oftentimes when we talk about giving away things, we're talking about something that was hidden or a secret.
Yeah, he's giving away a clue.
Giving away a clue,
but he didn't know that he was giving it away.
Right, so a few weeks ago, we tried to have a surprise birthday party for a friend, but he knew.
He knew.
He knew, and what gave it away was we were all so nervous.
Oh.
And we wanted to make sure, like, no, we have to be at the restaurant at 7.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just go a bit later? No, we have to be there at 7. Well, why? Yeah. Well, because that's when they make the food the best.
Yeah, so you're giving away all these clues.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and then he figured it out because he's not stupid, right?
Right, exactly.
Right, so then Victoria explains that she saw this study about behavioral differences between Chinese people.
Okay, and so Tom here is maybe a little skeptical, as well he should be.
Yeah,
and he's kind of jokes and says, so we don't like to move chairs?
yeah, he's a little skeptical guy. I might have said this if I were Tom, actually. But she talks about the study, which saw that people in the South don't like to manipulate their environment.
Ooh, okay. Manipulate. Mm-hmm. This sounds like such a bad, evil word. Like,
kind of. It's usually used in a negative way.
Especially when it's about people.
For sure, yeah.
Right? Like, you know, the evil husband manipulates his wife to get her family's money or something.
Yeah, you're controlling that person, basically, for your benefit.
Right. Who else is manipulative?
Well, sometimes politicians manipulate the media.
Oh, right? They do. Yeah. And the media manipulates all of us.
They do, yeah. So we're all kind of being controlled.
Mm.
Right. And so she says that the Southern people don't like to change their environment. They don't like to move chairs.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we should say here that, like, manipulating one's environment is... I mean, I guess it depends how you go about doing it, but that's what kind of makes us human. Like, we do manipulate our environments.
We do. We make farms. We cultivate land.
Exactly.
We have, you know, all those things. And this dates back to that time when rice farmers had to, she says, coordinate irrigation with their neighbors.
Okay, so dates back to, this is just anytime you're talking about something in history or something that started in history and continues up until today, you can say, oh, it dates back to, we could say it with, like, about phrases.
Yeah, for sure. The starting point of this phrase, of this tradition was that.
Right, time. Exactly. Yeah. Or something like, fashion, like when we started wearing ties, for example.
Yeah.
When did that date back to?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or blue jeans, yeah.
Blue jeans, yeah. I think blue jeans is more, is like, that's like Wild West.
Wild West, cowboys,
right. So that dates back to the 19th century.
Sure, yes. So what about coordinate here?
Coordinate, cooperate. Yeah, they're two words that we often get a lot of questions and comments about these two words specifically, because they do look similar. Mm-hmm. They sound similar.
And they are sort of related, right?
They absolutely are. So I would say that cooperate is just more basic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Work together.
Yeah. And coordinate is like organize.
Yeah, it's definitely more organized. So if Connor and I have to do task A, maybe we have to wait for Lisa to do task B. Mm-hmm. But of course, we need to coordinate with the people in China who are doing, you know, all of the tasks D, E, and F.
Yeah, it's hard to organize. Yeah,
it's hard to organize and it's hard to coordinate.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Now, irrigation, this is one of those words that we use basically just for farming, right?
Yeah, there's no... Well, I mean, because you could think of a lot of... You guys should know what irrigation is. It's the water pathways. Shui Li's. It's irrigation. But yeah, we don't use that in any kind of abstract or figurative sense.
Right. No, you could try. You could write a poem if you'd like.
I irrigated my love.
My love for you. Yeah. And we don't use this for houseplants, just farms.
Yeah. We just water the plants.
Water the plants. Yeah. Irrigate the farm.
Right. Yeah. Now, for example, like I was born on a farm. My grandparents were also farmers. But just because you have a farm doesn't mean that you have irrigation.
Good point. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you live in a place where the rainfall is pretty predictable, you don't really need irrigation.
Mm-hmm, yeah, but if you live in the desert, you're going to need some irrigation.
Yeah, exactly.
And one thing about irrigation is that you have to be interdependent with the farmers around you.
That's right, because you don't want Farmer Wong stealing, you know, Farmer Lee's water.
Yeah. You got to share the water.
Share the water.
Right. And that's kind of what it means. It's the opposite of independent, right?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Right. That's interesting because like the opposite of independent is dependent.
Dependent. Yes.
Right. But
yes,
you're usually only dependent on one person or one group or organization.
Yeah.
Whereas interdependent is kind of like we said before with coordinate.
Yeah.
All right. Like I depend on you. You depend on me. Mm-hmm. We're a happy family.
It's mutual, right? It's mutual.
Yes.
And it's kind of like a web.
Yeah. Now, of course, there are so many other words that have dependent as a root, right?
Yeah. So we're going to look at those in the grammar section. So take a look at that after the lesson. But for now, let's get back to this idea about like a web of interdependence. It's like a net, right?
And right.
People can get enmeshed in it.
Okay, so yeah, another word for net is mesh.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
that's where we can start from here. And yes, enmeshed just means you're kind of caught in a net. So the most literal example of this is, you know, like the fish were enmeshed in the fishing net.
Yeah, and that's kind of a big problem for the fish anyway, right?
For the fish, yeah. The fisherman probably doesn't mind so much.
Yeah.
But of course, they can also be enmeshed in other things. Mm-hmm. Like we're learning more and more every day that the ocean is full of plastic garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, fish and other sea life will get enmeshed in that stuff too.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But we can also use it in an abstract way, like two ideas that are enmeshed with each other.
Yes, of course. It's very hard to think of liberty, for example, without also thinking about equality.
Equality.
These two
yes.
ideas are enmeshed together.
Yeah, they're linked, right? They
right.
can't be separated. Yeah, or we could also use this for talking about wars. A country got enmeshed in a war.
Yeah, because a lot of times you think, oh, this will be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just start this war. Wars are easy to win.
Yeah, when you're the best, right?
When you're the best, we're the best. Tremendous. But, of course, that's not true. And, you know, big powers throughout history have become enmeshed in wars that they just can't win.
Right. They can't get out of it.
And they
yeah.
can't get out of.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So these Southerners, they were enmeshed in navigating social relationships. We've seen this word before, navigating, recently. It's just like find a path, find a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully you're not piloting a ship through people.
Yeah, yeah.
You put all your social relationships in the ocean and run over them with a boat.
Yeah. So we use it often in this way, navigating life, navigating relationships.
And situations, right?
Of course, absolutely. Situations, yeah. And this is comparing it with their northern counterparts.
Okay, counterparts.
Yeah.
It's just that person who is the same as you, but in a different place.
Yeah, often on the other side.
On the other side.
Yeah, so like Xi Jinping is the Chinese counterpart of President Obama. Oh, sorry, Trump.
Trump, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so we use that in a political sense. We use it in a business sense,
mm-hmm.
like, contact your counterpart at, the other company.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use it in a romantic sense.
Right. Yeah.
You wouldn't really say like the boyfriend's counterpart is the girlfriend.
Yeah. It's sort of more professional word. Right. Yeah, for sure. So Tom has a question here. Why did the Northerners diverge?
Okay. Yeah. That is the million-dollar question.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So first of all, we should say diverge means separate.
Mm, yes.
Right.
Yes.
It means separate. You'll often hear it in terms of like science.
Yeah, diverge, yeah. Okay.
Like to think something will diverge, like in biology.
Yeah, evolution.
Evolution, yeah. Mm-hmm. In like optics, mm-hmm. a light ray, if it hits a prism,
mm-hmm.
then the light rays will also diverge from each other.
Oh, yeah, that's some nice physics there.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Now, just in terms of pronunciation,
mm-hmm.
Connor and I both said diverge, but you will also hear diverge.
Right, yeah, that just depends on where you go. It's a dialectic thing, really.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
Now, one other way I always think about this, we have been doing lots of poetry lately here,
mm-hmm.
and if you guys have time, I would strongly suggest a poet by the name of Robert Frost.
Robert Frost,
he has a poem called Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood.
That's a famous one, isn't it?
It's a pretty famous poem. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not super difficult to understand. It's basically a traveler sees two roads.
Mm,
you can only go down one road.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, one of those roads was, it was very, very, I think he called it, like, beaten. We say off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path, yeah.
Right? Which means that the beaten path is the one where many people have walked over.
Yeah, they're beating the path with their feet.
With their feet, right? So you can clearly see that. And the other path is just all grass.
Yeah.
Because nobody has beaten that.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
Anyway, check that out. Robert Frost.
Yeah, for sure. You could also use this in a professional way. When company objectives diverge, companies may split.
Oh, yeah. 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 I guess any opinions can really.
Yeah. Yeah,
objectives, opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All this stuff can diverge.
Can diverge, for sure. So the answer, apparently, to the million-dollar question is that, well, they farmed wheat.
Oh, yeah, sure. Because of wheat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, so again, from this idea of like a folk knowledge point of view, like, yes, growing wheat does not require a lot of interdependence, mm-hmm. right? Again, I come from a long line of farmers. You don't need to get together with your community to grow wheat.
Right.
Now, growing rice,
yeah.
that might be a little bit different.
Yeah, you got to be more interdependent. And that's why Tom here is like, oh, so that's maybe why Southerners do things a little more reservedly.
Reservedly.
Okay.
Okay, fun little pronunciation.
Yeah, here. Yeah. So the adjective you've probably seen before, reserved, right? You don't talk about your feelings. You want to avoid conflict, right?
You want to avoid conflict. Yeah, you don't want to give too much information. Mm-hmm. I used to think like the traditional sense of like a gentleman.
Yeah.
A gentleman is very reserved.
Mm-hmm, for sure. But the pronunciation, as you said, changes when you change it to an adverb.
Mm.
So we say reservedly.
Reservedly.
Well, not like I did. Reservedly.
Yeah, reservedly.
Reservedly, yeah. Okay. And that way of life comes from this sort of collectivistic style, right? This culture.
Right. So you're in some kind of collective. It means that you, again, you're all pretty interdependent on each other.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to rock the boat.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you're all working for the greater good, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So again, if this one guy over here kind of steps out of line, mm-hmm. then, you know, maybe the collective will either punish that person or try to remove that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so what the study was saying is that this style, this way of life has lingered into the modern age.
Okay. Yeah. Linger. This is a great, this is a great word. It means to remain.
To remain. Yeah. It takes a while to disappear.
Yes. But there's a certain nuance to this word.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually when something lingers, mm-hmm. it's not good.
Yeah. Like, oh, I got a lingering feeling from yesterday when some horrific thing happened.
Well, I'm thinking about when I was very young, I worked at a bingo hall.
Oh, yeah?
Bingo!
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have played bingo in many many English classes.
Who hasn't? Yeah.
It's a great game. It is also a game where a lot of old ladies love to smoke cigarettes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So the smell of smoke, I mean, it would be very, very strong mm-hmm. at night.
Yeah.
And then the next day in the morning, that smell would still linger.
Oh, it was still there. It takes a while for it to go away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, we also use this word in terms of feelings, mm-hmm. right? Like the feelings for your high school sweetheart still linger on.
Oh, yeah. We all know that too well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So in that way, it's not always something that you want, right?
Yeah, exactly. But just to be clear, it doesn't have to be bad in 100% of all cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think here what Victoria is saying, or at least what she is saying, the study is saying, is that it just remains.
It remains.
She's not using that nuance here.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with Tom here. That sounds pretty fascinating.
It does. And actually, Connor and I have both been dying to give our own take on this, which we'll wait 1 second to do that. But yeah, just the word fascinating. It's mm-hmm. sometimes when you use this word, I know we've had problems before with the word interesting,
mm-hmm.
that maybe we think that when we say interesting, we actually mean not interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. When I say fascinating, I tend to mean what I say. It's mm-hmm. just very, very interesting.
And makes me curious.
Makes me curious, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's super fascinating. Say, how about we listen to that one more time?
Oh, sounds good.
Hey, Tom. I'll go order our drinks. Would you mind grabbing that empty chair for our table?
Oh, are you sure? Why don't we just find a table with two chairs?
Oh, I guess we could. Say, you don't happen to be from southern China, do you?
Yeah. What gave it away?
Well, I saw a study about behavioral differences between southern and northern Chinese people.
So, we don't like to move chairs?
No. But people from the south don't like to manipulate their environment. It dates back to the rice farmers who had to coordinate irrigation with their neighbors.
So you mean we're more interdependent?
Yep. Southerners tend to be more enmeshed in navigating social relationships than their northern counterparts.
Why did the northerners diverge from the south then?
Because they farmed wheat, which could be done independently.
So I guess that's why southerners do things a little more reservedly with strangers.
Probably. The old collectivistic way of life still lingers in modern urban environments.
That's pretty fascinating. Now, let me grab that chair.
All right, so we got that dialogue done one more time. Now let's talk about kind of our opinions about this study. Because, like, there is a lot of folklore, as I've learned,
right,
about this this idea, and this is now like a scientific study, right?
Well, it's a study that is definitely claiming to be scientific.
Right, because a lot of studies, like, you know, are well-intentioned, but, you know, there's a lot of limitations that, you know, they can't look at everything, right?
They can't. And, I mean, the study was literally two people sitting in a Starbucks watching people.
Right.
You know, did they move chairs or did they not move chairs?
Yeah. Extrapolating that onto, like, a whole culture, a little risky.
It is, yeah. Well, the word I might use here is spurious. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The methodology is not really sound here.
Yeah.
Because if anybody has actually been to any, by the way, these were all done in, like, big cities in China.
Yeah, yeah.
But if anyone has ever been to a big city in China, you can't assume that everyone in a Starbucks is a local person.
That's true. Like, yeah, you don't know.
It's a ridiculous assumption to make.
Right. So maybe another way to do it is to have a more controlled environment.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that is one way that, you know, scientists or, you know, people, the researchers try to design their studies to make them better.
I think the researchers are probably from the South because they didn't like to control the environment.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. We're all learning something today.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, what do you think? Of course, we could ask, you know, the very direct, straightforward, basic question. Is there a difference between Northerners and Southerners? What is that difference?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
People in the North eat noodles. People in the South eat rice.
Right, yeah. And a bigger question here is, like, how can these scientific studies really find the truth, or can they, right?
Yeah, exactly, because there is, you know, we talked about, like, rays of light before. There are many true statements and observations we can make about rays of light, but when it comes to people and culture and history, it's not always easy to bring everything under this idea of scientific truth.
Yeah, it's hard to bring it under the microscope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
The people doing the research, you know, they're human too, right?
That's right.
They've got their own biases.
They've got biases. And, you know, like, maybe when they were in the Starbucks, they were, you know, sipping on their mochaccino.
Yeah.
And instead of counting the Northern or Southern people, maybe they were counting the beautiful Russian girls that walked in.
That's
and
very
made
possible.
A mistake.
Yeah, that's possible too.
As always, we are looking forward to your comments. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.